Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Afternoon, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. on this Wednesday afternoon. It is October the 18th, 2017. Again, this is a Wednesday afternoon here on the Black Talk Radio Network. Lots of live programming for you today, but there has been a lineup change. Well, not really a change, but Tanya Free and Friends, which comes on at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern here on the network, will be doing a replay of a previous show, so they're not live today. But all our other programming is scheduled for tonight, starting at 6 o'clock p.m. all the way up to 10 o'clock p.m. So Wednesdays, got a lot of live streaming for you. Make sure you keep it locked here all day. Again, this is Black Talk Radio News, where I share some of the day's news, commentary, and music with you. Let me give out those telephone numbers in case anybody has some stories they would like to share or comment on anything that we share. You can give us a call at 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. Hit ** to enter into the caller's queue, and I'll see you on the board and bring your call in. Also, we have another number that is 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056, and you can always join us at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. Before I get into some of these news stories, just want to remind you that the September statistical reports for the Black Talk Radio digital radio station, as well as the platform which distributes podcasts from several different producers, that report was sent out Monday evening is when it was sent out. If you did not get the report, of course, that report only goes to our donors, those who donate to the North Carolina nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. You can find that website online at blacktalkmediaproject.org. You can also find links to our secure PayPal account on all the platforms that we have out there. Of course, blacktalkradionetwork.com as well. The media partners, all the podcasters. So if you haven't seen the report yet, please check your email. Also, some people hadn't been getting it. Well, they were actually getting it, but it was going to a spam folder. So you want to add our email address to your contact list so that it doesn't go to your spam. All right, so that I just wanted to remind people of that. Only about half of those who normally get that report have actually looked at it, because we get stats on, you know, when people view things. So just wondering if people were aware that we're out. All right, so lots of news to report as every day. Got some international news coming out of Kenya. You had a tragic shooting today, and the shooter is still on the loose. No fatalities have been reported out of this Maryland office park where five people have been shot. We'll take a look at the details of that. Donald Trump's most recent attempt at a travel ban has been blocked by the courts again. But they left in place the restrictions on traveling to Venezuela and Korea. But once again, Donald Trump's big mouth has resulted in another one of his policy proposals. I guess we could call that travel ban a policy proposal. Well, that's been blocked because he runs off at the mouth all the time. And here's an interesting story coming to you from Mississippi. You have a Mississippi school that was named after the Confederate traitor to the United States of America. That would be Jefferson Davis. And he has a school named after him in Mississippi, and that school is being renamed. And guess who is being renamed after? I can hear Richard Spencer and them now talking about, they shall not replace us. Well, one of your boys just got replaced by somebody I know y'all don't like. Okay, so that's a funny story to me. Also, there have been more removals of Confederate statues around the world. Excuse me, not around the world, but around the United States, Kentucky. They're still taking down Confederate statues. I know some people believe that we need these statues to remind us that the United States is racist, but I don't need such a reminder, nor do I want my tax dollars paying for one. If you need such a reminder, I'm sure they sell little mini monuments to these Confederate soldiers, and you can put one on your lawn if you need a reminder. Put it on in your mantle in your house. You can hang up a Confederate flag as well. I'm talking to non-white people. They say we need those as reminders. Well, you can put them in your house. A lot of us don't want to pay for those things, okay? And we are paying for them as they are on public property. Again, if I want to know about any Confederate general or member of their vanquished government, I could look it up in the book or look it up on the internet. I don't need the state taking money from the taxpayer and directing it towards symbols of racism and white supremacy and slavery. Number one is slavery in my book, so that's good to see that that's happening. Got some good news and some bad news on the private prison front. Trump is planning to expand the number of detention centers. Remember, I doubt if he's talking about the federal government is going to build some new prisons to put undocumented immigrants into these prisons. I seriously doubt that, because he is about making money. And we know the private prison industry, he supports that. He thinks they're great. And so I imagine that they're going to be awarding more probably billion-dollar contracts to CCA and GEO Group. So we'll take a look at that. There's a story I forgot to report in the past 2 days. I'm not sure when I got the email, but there was a victory in the fight against private prisons and for government transparency. There was a email that I had gotten from, I believe it's the Constitutional, let me pull that up right quick. The Center for Constitutional, Center for Constitutional Rights. Yeah, that's the name of it. The Center for Constitutional Rights sent out an email talking about a lawsuit they have been involved in with private prisons, and they're citing a victory of sorts. So we'll take a look at that. Also, I think I may have mentioned this. Again, the fires are still raging in California. That just seems to be a wildfire-prone state, as I can just recall year after year after year, these wildfires getting out of control, burning thousands of acreage and what have you. This latest wildfire has been particularly deadly in the loss of human life, not to mention any wildlife. But there's a story from Democracy Now! Where it's focusing on women's prisoners fighting fires in Cali for $1 a day. Now, I'm sure I mentioned this several times over the years, definitely on New Abolitionist Radio, which airs Wednesday nights on this network at 8 o'clock p.m. Make sure y'all check that out. But we've talked about California's Attorney General Kamala Harris, who's a senator now, and there seems to be movement among these billionaire donors to replace her, replace Hillary Clinton with her. So she argued I should say her office argued under her name, because she was in charge of that office, California Attorney General, argued that to the Supreme Court that California couldn't afford to lose this cheap labor pool. And so, yeah, the Supreme Court found them in violation, I think, of the Eighth Amendment. Cruel and unusual punishment is what they were calling overcrowding in California. And rather than just let nonviolent offenders go, people who shouldn't have even been in prison in the first place over some cannabis, when you're selling cannabis in the state and just about to launch their recreational cannabis sales in that state, if I'm not mistaken. And so lots of people in prison that shouldn't even be there. And they're using these prisoners, again, as they stated, her office stated, when they argued that case before the Supreme Court, California can't afford to lose their cheap slave labor. Of course, they didn't call it slave labor, but that's what it is. You're paying somebody, if you don't pay someone fair wage, so to speak, at least minimum wage, then it's slave wages. You're paying them slave wages, or if you're paying them nothing at all, obviously that's slavery. So definitely want to take a look at that story. I'm more interested in seeing how Democracy Now! Covers it, because they're asking the question, why are women prisoners fighting fires for a dollar in Cali? So let's see what they came up with. We'll take a listen to that clip. Also, white supremacy is on the march down in Florida right now. University of Florida seems to be bracing for a Richard Spencer speech. And you have people saying it's basically a powder keg right now. And they're trying to take steps to prevent another Charlottesville from happening, from what I've been reading in various articles this morning related to this. And I think the University of Florida Florida governor has declared a state of emergency ahead of this. And I'm like, hey, just say he can't come speak. That's all you got to do. If you're so concerned about security, if this is a security threat in Florida, then don't allow the white supremacist to speak. He has no right to speak. There's no First Amendment right to speak. Promote racism and white supremacy and terrorism. I don't buy into that argument from even liberals. They got a right to speak. No, they don't. The FBI again in 2006 said white supremacy is a national security threat. Well, treat it like one is what I say. So we'll take a look at that story. Also, you had airline cops, slave catchers. I don't know if they had the power to charge. They probably do have power to charge people. But there was a doctor. There was an Asian doctor who was on a United Airlines flight. And I think if I remember correctly, somebody got sick on a plane and they asked for a doctor. And he said, I'm a doctor. And he got bloodied and bruised by the end of the day with them dragging him off the plane. So the officers involved in that, two of them have been suspended and two have been fired over that doctor's brutal treatment. Again, he was left bloodied and bruised. You can see the blood coming out the side of his mouth. And just more of the same every day behind the enemy lines of USA. It's more of the same. Just brutality, brutality, brutality. Violence, violence, violence. That's all. That's America's biggest export or favorite pastime is violence. So those are some of the stories that we will share with you today. Again, if you have any stories to share, you can call in. Give us a call at 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025 or 704-802-5056, I believe. I had to pull that number up. Yeah, but 704-802-5056. Hit star, that'll put you on the keypad. And you can also share articles, as people are already doing. Good morning to those who have joined us in the Black Talk Radio chat, which is at uberconference.com/blacktalkradionetwork.com. Good morning or good afternoon, depending upon your time zone. So, yeah, do we have a couple of stories? Let me just share this real quick. Did you hear Strategic Melanin is asking, did you hear the NFL is considering paying organizations on behalf of players in lieu of them standing for the anthem? It's all about the money. How much does the government pay to the NFL to recruit for the pillaging they do around the world? So what Strategic Melanin is talking about? Actually, my mom didn't even know this. She had asked me about it last night. She saw a story on television about Colin Kaepernick's attorney. Mark Garagos. We reported that yesterday. So she had called me, and then I was able to find the CNN video on YouTube. I didn't pull it up for today's program, but let me just share with you. So what Strategic Melanin is talking about, they used to not have these national rituals that they call a national anthem ceremony before football games. They only started doing that when the Pentagon started paying owners, billionaires, millions of dollars to have these rituals before the game. And so all that is just more military recruiting. That's all it is, a big commercial for recruiting people to the military. All the big jet flyovers, the military jet flyover, all that stuff costs money. All right. And so what the Pentagon sees that as is an investment, you know, in recruiting propaganda and what have you. So I did hear that the NFL players are supposed to be meeting with the owners to start funding organizations that work on these social issues, like what Colin Kaepernick is doing, having those Know Your Rights workshops and what have you, and other things. So that's all I know about it thus far. That's all I know about it in terms of that. And we need the money. I ain't gonna lie. I would love for some NFL players to start funding Black Talk Media Project and giving us some money. I'm not taking any money from the U.S. government or the state of North Carolina or anybody who may have an agenda that doesn't line up with our mission. But yeah, I would love for NFL players, NBA players, if they looking for a nonprofit in good standing to fund our media work, our media justice work, by all means, we would love to see that happen. So I don't know much of what that looks like. But going back to that interview, I don't know if people saw that interview on CNN last night. But on that interview last night, Mark Garagos, I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly, who is Colin Kaepernick's attorney, said that they have a smoking gun. They say they have a smoking gun and they can prove collusion. They said they're not going to tell you the names of their witnesses, but apparently you got some whistleblowers in the NFL in the front office, for the headquarters or whatnot. And some of these individual franchises, according to Colin Kaepernick's attorney, they got a smoking gun to prove that there was collusion among NFL owners to keep Colin Kaepernick out of a job because he started this movement among NFL players to take a knee in recognizing the fallen Americans, not veterans, but Americans who have been gunned down by slave catchers out there. That's why they started taking a knee. This other NFL player who was a Green Beret said, hey, you know, we used to these ceremonies in the military, and, you know, we just programmed to salute the flag and stand there. But if you want to show respect to your fallen fellow Americans gunned down by these slave catchers, the way that we do it is we take a knee for our fallen comrades. And so that's when Colin Kaepernick stopped sitting down and started taking a knee. So he's taking a knee. Now all the other players are taking a knee in recognition of the issue of murderous slave catchers in America just gunning down people left and right. So I haven't visited Killed by Police recently. to see the latest statistical data on the numbers. I'm sure it's over 800, if I remember the last time, close to 900 people thus far this year. But I'm interested to see this play out, man. Mark Gurriel was pretty much saying like they may have some faxes, they may have some emails, but they definitely got some witnesses who are willing to testify, who will not lie under oath for on behalf of the NFL and its owners. Because I was thinking, man, Colin Kaepernick seems like a pretty smart guy. I don't think that he nor his attorney. Now, attorneys will take your money even if you got a losing case. If you want them to try to fight it, they'll still take your money. But when you're talking high-profile attorneys with national profiles like a Mark Garagos, no, they want to win. They want to win. That's how they justify their high fees to these celebrities and big money, you know, people who need attorneys. And so if he says they got a smoking gun, I believe him. I believe him. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. All right. That's what I heard. There's some related information that's being posted to the chat room. Also, let me pull up this story here. Okay, this is related to a firefighter story. I'll pull that up when I talk about the firefighters out there in California. The prisoners, you got slaves working as firefighters, putting their lives on the line. Will they be set free after they fight them fires? No. Because they be, no. California can't afford to lose its cheap labor, according to Kamala Harris, the former attorney general. This is what they argued in the Supreme Court. All right, so those are some of the stories we'll be going over during the course of the program. In the meantime, let's kick it off with some Craig Mack flavor in your ear. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News on the Black Talk Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Yo, Mac, I don't even understand how they didn't understand you and that Mary Joy.
Yeah, I
kick
know,
that
man.
Old robotic, futuristic George Jetson.
Yeah,
crazy
Joy. Just like Uniblab, robotic kicking flab. Or flavor bit of batter, chitter chatter, madder than the mad hatter. I bet your boss come by fatter. I got the data to turn your body into antimatter. And just like a piece of sizzling, you'll fit inside my stomach with the eggs and grits between. The king is what I mean. My man, get a cup and put some change inside your hand. Now hold up, let's make this official. Everybody, let's agree that MCs need a tissue. The folks my only issue. I bet your mama miss you, and I bet the Mac take off like an MX missile. No more you whining on the charts climbing as I make the phone kicking out more harder than a dime. And if you didn't know who's rhyming, I guess I'm gonna say Craig Mack with perfect timing. You won't be around next year. My rap's too severe, kicking mad flavor in your ear. Here comes a brand new flavor in your ear. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Mack's brand new flavor in your ear. Craig Mack, 1,000 degrees. You'll be on your knees and you'll be burning, begging, please. Brother Freeze, man's indisputed and deep-rooted. Folks smoke to leave your brains booted. This bad MC with stamina like Bruce Jenner, the winner tasting MCs for dinner. You're crazy like that glue. That think that you can outdo my 1-2. That's sick like the flu. Shake him down, boy. I flip, boy, all the time. Cause, boy, the rhyme you're kicking ain't worth a dime. Seems like there's no competition in this rap world expedition. You come around and knock you out position. Knock him out. No flame could ever dig a grave. Both the Mac, the power pack in black. Make you see man crap. And here comes a brand new flavor in your ear. Mac's a brand new flavor in your ear. Here comes a brand new flavor in your ear. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Mac's brand new flavor in your ear. Here comes a brand new flavor in your ear. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Mac's brand new flavor in your ear. Ha! Mac's dope with more hope than the Pope, but for MCs more knots than rope. I'd like to break it down, breaking, forsaken laws of MC shaking with this track that my man's making. MCs will run like a bomb threat, I bet, what? Or better yet, make you sweat, getting hotter than the sun get. Yeah. Craig Mack is the flame that bumps from here to Tibet. Boy. I break all rules with my action. That the Maxons, the MCs, stop relaxing. This brand new sheriff that's in town is getting down, leaving bodies buried in the ground. I set up rhymes for a decoy down for bad boy. Watch the MCs I destroy. And here comes the brand new flavor in your ear. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Max, brand new flavor in your ear. Here comes the brand new flavor in your ear. It's time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking brand new flavor in your ear. Max, brand new flavor in your ear. Ha!
In 2008, the Black Talk Media Project launched the digital radio platform, Black Talk Radio Network, the first such platform created to serve the black community specifically. Black Talk Radio Network has grown with a variety of radio hosts, digital radio stations, and podcasters. Web analytics say Black Talk Radio, the platform, has an online reach that ranks it among the top independent black media platforms in the world. All of this is possible because of financial contributions to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you love the work we do and the voices and perspectives we bring to you every day, make a donation today to ensure that Black Talk Radio is here in the future. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Let's jump into some of these news stories of the day. Let me see. We have a story that's coming to you from telegraph.co.uk. That's a UK-based paper, obviously. I've known about them for a while. They seem to have a right-wing bent on things, but that's neither here nor there as it relates to this story. I don't know if y'all heard about this story. You had four U.S. soldiers. I think they might have been Green Beret. I'm not sure about that, but it seems like I remember they were Green Beret. And they have been in Nigeria as, quote-unquote, advisors, right? Advising the Nigerian army on how to fight Boko Haram and other Islamic militants, quote-unquote. And you had those four soldiers. They were on some kind of exercise with some Nigerian troops. And excuse me, not Nigeria, in Niger. I'm sorry, I was mistaken about that. Niger, the country of Niger, which is located in northwestern Africa. And so you got bases, U.S. bases, drone bases in different places in Africa. You got AFRICOM. I remember talking about AFRICOM back in 2007 when they were first talking about launching AFRICOM, but it's not actually based in Africa. It's based in Europe. That's the U.S. military's African so-called command. And so Donald Trump was asked the question about whether or not, about why these soldiers were there, what were they doing, if they're supposed to only be in an advisory role, how did they get killed? You know, what were they doing? How did they end up in a firefight and what have you? So Donald Trump changed the subject to calling military families after one of these soldiers get killed and just totally changed the subject, and the media went for it. He brought Obama, ex John Kelly, a former general, and his son got killed. I don't think Obama called him. You know, Donald Trump, man, is such a man child. And so he just totally changed the subject. All right, so now he calls one of the soldiers' widow, called the man's widow, and basically told this woman that, hey, he knew what he was signing up for. And that's what's being reported by all the mainstream outlets that have picked up this story. And so let me just read a little bit from the Telegraph's report on this, which was written by Chris Graham. It says that Donald Trump has been branded insensitive after reportedly telling the widow of a soldier killed in northwestern Africa that, quote, he knew what he signed up for. The U.S. Man, that's just, it's just brutally, you know, oh man, that's callous. But at the same time, though, I'm glad he said it. I'm glad it's coming out. And hopefully a lot of young people out there will find another way to get that college money and not follow in my footsteps and join the U.S. military only to be used as a pawn in a war for corporate control of oil in the Middle East. That's what the Gulf War was really about. It wasn't about liberating Kuwait. It wasn't about no dead babies. That was a fake story, dead babies in the hospital being stomped by Iraqis. So that was all a lie. And so, I'm glad Trump is saying what he said. They also need to look up what Henry Kissinger wrote about soldiers and how they're nothing but dogs and cannon fodder and all this and that. And I know the poverty draft, we got a lot of poverty in this country, and that's how it's set up to be, so that the people who are impoverished will try to get a come up by joining the military. That's why I joined for college money. Not for God, not for country, not for my fellow Americans, so I wouldn't go in debt. That's why I joined, and I wish I had not joined. But I'm glad, again, Trump said this, because they don't have any respect for the troops. If they had respect for the troops, they wouldn't be throwing their lives away for corporate interests. And I'm not just talking about USA Inc. I'm talking about Shell, I'm talking about Exxon Mobil, I'm talking about all these major energy companies. So Congresswoman Fredericka Wilson told CNN she was traveling with Maisha Johnson, and yes, these are black people, on the way to Miami International Airport to see the casket of her husband, Army Sergeant LaDavid Johnson. So she wanted to go to the airport to see his casket arrive when Trump called. She said Mr. Trump told Ms. Johnson, well, I guess he knew what he signed up for, but when it happens, it hurts anyway. They were astonished, Ms. Wilson told the New York Post. It was almost like saying, you signed up to do this, and if you didn't want to die, you shouldn't have signed up. Hey, he being brutally honest there. I have to go ahead and tell the truth. And shame the devil. He being honest. If you didn't want to die, you shouldn't have signed up. Now I'm not being callous towards this, but it's a truth. And then you get maniacs in office like Donald Trump who want to start World War III. No, now is not a good time to be going in the United States military. All right, so the Congresswoman from Florida said the call lasted about 3 to 5 minutes, and the only words that the widow spoke to Mr. Trump was thank you at the end. It's so insensitive. He should not have said that. He shouldn't have said it, Ms. Wilson told local ABC affiliate WPLG. Let's see if we can get some audio on this. There's a Twitter post embedded in this article. Hopefully we can get some audio off of it. Let's see.
Sarcastically, he said, but you know, he must have known what he signed up for. Like, how could you say that to a grieving widow? I couldn't believe, and he said it more than once. So I said, this.
Uh-oh, let me see, having some.
Man has no feelings for anyone. This is a young woman with child who is grieved to her soul.
All right, that was it. That was with the Congresswoman. Let me find her name again. Congresswoman Fredericka Wilson. That's who you heard speaking. And again, you know, you heard her comments to CNN. That's who she was speaking to about Donald Trump's comments. She later tweeted, Sergeant LaDavid Johnson is a hero. Donald Trump does not possess the character, the empathy, or grace to be president of the United States. So, yeah. But we have to look at this without emotion. Let's not get emotion. Yes, it's callous and whatnot, but he's telling the truth. And y'all should play these comments that he made, or this story, show this story to any of these young people that's in your family that's thinking about joining the U.S. military. Let them know what the commander-in-chief thinks. Not only is he a white supremacist, but you know, you give your life for your country, so to speak. Well, that's a bunch of BS, but hey, you know what you signed up for. If you didn't want to die, you shouldn't have signed up. Man, I can't believe he said that, man. Really. Yes, I believe it, because he again, said so many off-the-wall things. You just think, does this man think before he opens his mouth? I don't think so. He knew what he signed up for. That's just disgusting, Donald. Very, very disgusting. Man, I don't know what to say about this guy. Let me move on to another story. Again, if you have any comments or questions or anything you want to share, give us a call at 866-510-9025. That's our toll-free number. Let me see. Now, I've been watching this story for a couple of days as I do pay attention to global news. And Kenya is supposed to be having an election, and they just can't seem to get it right. And they had one election, but that election was invalidated by electioneering shenanigans and what have you. So now you got the head of the Kenyan Election Commission, her name is Rosalind Akombe, who has left Kenya and is on her way to the United States, if she's not here already, saying she's in fear for her life. So this article comes to you from BBC.com. It says a senior member of Kenya's Electoral Commission has fled to the U.S. amid death threats ahead of next week's presidential election rerun. Rosalind Akombe said the IEBC was under political siege, unable to reach consensus or take any decisions. The IEBC, again, this is the Electoral Commission in Kenya, said it regretted her decision to quit, while its chairman conceded that he could not guarantee that the poll would be credible. Last week, opposition leader, how do you pronounce this? Raila Odinga pulled out of the vote. The Supreme Court annulled the results of the original August 8th poll when current president Uhuru Kenyatta was declared the winner after finding irregularities and illegalities. The IEBC chairman, Wafula Chebukati, said he regretted Ms. Akombe's decision to quit and warned Kenya's political leaders not to interfere with the process. So let's see if I can get this audio to play, this video. See if we can cue that up. Hopefully it'll play. Again, Ms.
You know, I've been agonizing for months now about my role at the commission and my effectiveness at the commission and my safety, actually, and security. And I reached a decision after visiting four counties across the country and seeing my staff. I realized that we are in a difficult situation as a country, preparing for an election in which you have one candidate that has withdrawn, in which you have the commission not meeting all its obligations and yet not coming out very strongly to say that these are the challenges we are facing in terms of technology. We've been having a situation in the commission whereby every decision is on the basis of a vote. And so it was becoming increasingly difficult, really, to be able to stand up and say, I am doing this because I believe in it. It was more of, I'm doing this because we have a collective responsibility and I have to defend those positions even when I didn't believe in them.
So why don't you stay in Kenya and fight out your position? Why have you gone to the United States?
It is not possible, as the commission is constituted right now, to make any changes internally because you have to have enough votes. The second aspect of it,
okay,
safety and security issue. I mean, you have seen, you are aware that 9 days before the last election, our manager in charge of ICT communication, Chris Musando, was brutally murdered. That has never been resolved.
Did you feel there were any threats to your life?
Absolutely. I mean, I have never felt the kind of fear that I felt in my own country. I have traveled around the world. I have lived in various countries. So if you get such messages and you've seen your own staff get that and be murdered, you will really be suicidal to think that
This website seems to be having some issues with this video.
Nothing would happen to you.
Where were these threats coming from? The governing Jubilee Coalition or from NASA?
I always see possibilities of threats coming from anybody because sometimes it's opportunistic.
Will Kenya and the commission be ready to conduct credible elections on the 26th of October?
You know, I was going to say that if it is to conduct an election, yes, the commission can hold an election. Would it be a credible election? Absolutely not. There is a very high likelihood that the mistakes that some of the presiding officers made during the last election will be repeated. If you are dealing with an election in which at least half of the country is not going to be participating in, could you consider that the environment for having credible election exists? It does not.
Has the NASA coalition, the opposition of Mr. Raila Odinga, has that party been putting some of your staff under pressure in some areas in the country?
Absolutely, and it's unacceptable.
But you do realize that by giving this interview, you will give them credence to when they say that the election process will not be fair. You do realize that they will use this interview to justify scrapping the election or at least getting rid of the chairman of the Electoral Commission.
You see, my personality requires that I speak the truth. But there are also aspects that I cannot live with. I cannot live with an election that is never going to be a credible election. We have to get to a point whereby we are able to speak the truth, whether that truth hurts Jubilee or whether that truth hurts NASA. But it is the truth.
Do you envisage yourself going back to Kenya in the foreseeable future?
No. I don't feel safe enough to be able to go back home. I haven't been feeling safe being there. This is not what I ever thought it was going to end up being as a job.
Wow. And why is this important? Why do I think that this is newsworthy? Because it could lead to a huge loss of life in that country. This could descend into a civil war in Kenya. You know, Barack Obama likes to travel around the world and interfere in other countries' elections, as he did in the French election to get Macron elected, even cut a campaign ad for him. So this is where Barack Obama's father is from, was born. Certainly Barack Obama's been to Kenya and whatnot. So, hey, Barack, they need your help over there, man, so that they don't, you know, break out in the civil war. Go over there and get that straightened out. All right, for your Kenyan relatives and what have you. So, that could turn into widespread violence. You actually had one member of that election commission actually get killed already. A male was killed, and so she's taking the threats very serious, and she's left. Now, one thing I do take issue with what she said, that how can an election be credible if half the country doesn't participate? Well, if we apply that standard to the United States, then we've never had credible elections because most people, well, I would say half the people, I can confidently say half the U.S. population, let's just say half the voting age population, don't vote. They just simply don't. Many of them boycotted the last election because they didn't want to vote for Donald Trump or the mass murdering Hillary Clinton. Who played a key role in bringing back slavery in this country through the private prisons and what have you. So, yeah, she should take this serious. Can't blame her for leaving. You've already had one person from that agency get killed. It's just sad, man. It's just sad. But thus is the state of the world. Thus is the state of the world. All right, so I got one more story. We'll take another break. Let me first check the phone line, see if we got any calls. That telephone number is 866-510-9025. In the conference room, it seems that Ms. Wilson, where we were talking about Donald Trump, said she wanted to cuss Donald Trump out. I asked the family to give me the phone so that I could, but they wouldn't. Well, it's probably good that you didn't cuss him out, Miss Wilson, because that just would have backfired on you, and the story would have been about you cussing out Donald Trump as opposed to what Donald Trump said to this widow of a fallen U.S. soldier and saying he know what he signed up for if he didn't want to die and all that. So no, you shouldn't have cussed him out. See how he likes to flip the script Whenever you ask Donald Trump a question about a certain topic, he likes to flip it to something else. He likes to change the channel, so to speak. And so I'm glad to hear that that family had enough sense not to give you the phone so you can cuss him out. Come on, we can't be operating from emotion, you know? So, yeah. That's kind of crazy there. Now, this story before we go into the break. If you live in Maryland, in Hartford County, that's H-A-R-F-O-R-D, Hartford County, there's been a shooting. You've had three people killed, so now I am seeing that there have been fatalities. Three people killed and two wounded in a shooting at a Maryland office park, authorities say. Now, I don't want to speculate here. Could have been workplace violence, could have been related to somebody felt that they were mistreated, or this could be something else. I just simply don't know. But they haven't found the person. Apparently, it's a black male who is allegedly behind this shooting. They believe that he's behind it. His name is Roddy LaBee Prince, 37 years old, and he is believed to have allegedly shot five people at Advanced Granite Solutions at the Immortorn Business Park in Edgewood. So again, this is in Maryland. That's about 30 miles northeast of Baltimore, in Hartford County. The five people shot are believed to be employees of the business, and the two injured were taken to a hospital Wednesday morning, Goller said. The shooting was reported this morning to police around 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern, and officers arrived 4 minutes later, Goller said. Goller is the sheriff for that county. Investigators believe Prince drove away in a black Acadia with a Delaware license plate. There's an individual out there on the loose who committed one of the most heinous acts we've ever seen in our county. Certainly, we consider him armed and dangerous. So if you are in that area, keep a lookout. Again, I don't know the details. They say that it appears it was targeted, but that's all they're saying. They don't say whether or not he worked there before. They don't know if they're not seen, if he had some kind of beef with the owners or managers. It's just simply not saying. So this is a developing story, and they still have not found this person. And there is a huge manhunt, as you can imagine, underway for this shooting suspect. So if you're in that area of the country, please be careful. Please be on the lookout. Okay? Just be safe. All right. So I'm going to take another station identification break, and when we come back, we'll get into more of the stories of the day. As you are listening to Black Talk Radio News, commentary, and music. We'll be right back.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Make a clap to this.
To show our appreciation for your support.
Make a clap to this.
Thank you, DJs.
Make a clap to this. I came in the door, I said it before. I never let the mic magnetize me no more, but it's biting me, inviting me to rhyme. I can't hold it back. I'm looking for the line, taking off my coat, clearing my throat. The rhyme will be kicking in till I hit my last note. My mind remains to find all kind of ideas. Self-esteem makes it seem like a thought took years to build, but still say a rhyme after.
after the next one. Prepared, never scared, I'll just bless one. And you know that I'm the solo whist, so Eric B, make him clap to this. Make him clap to this. Make him clap to this. Make him clap, make him clap to this. Make him clap to this. Make him clap to this. I don't bug out of chill or be acting ill. No tricks in 86, it's time to build. Eric, be easy on the cut, no mistakes allowed. Cause to me, MC means move the crowd. I made it easy to dance to this. But can you detect what's coming next from the flex of the wrist? Say indeed, then I proceed, cause my man made a mix. If you bleed, he won't be no band-aid to fix. A fingertip, so I'm on my tooth, there's no rhymes left. I hurry up because the cut'll make him bleed to death. But he's kicking it, cause it ain't no half-stepping. The party is live, the rhyme can't be kept in. Side of me, erupting just like a volcano. It ain't the everyday style or the same old rhyme, cause I'm better than the rest of them. Every B is on the cut, and my name is Rakim. Make a clap to this. Make a clap to this.
The special mix.
Make a clap to this. Go get a girl and get soft and warm. Don't get excited, you've been invited to a quiet storm. But now it's out of hand, cause you told me you hate me. And then you asked, what have I done lately? First you said, all you want is love and affection. Let me be your angel and I'll be your protection. Take you out, buy you all kinds of things. Make a clap to this. Call the attitude, you need food to eat up. I'm scheming like I'm dreaming on the couch with my feet up. You scream, I'm lazy, you must be crazy. Thought I was a donut, you tried to glaze me. Make a clap to this. 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 Now I made it easy to dance to this. But can you detect what's coming next from the flex of the wrist? Say indeed, then I proceed, cause my man made a mix. If he bleed, he won't be no band-aid to fix. Is on the cut, and my name is Rakim.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast this Wednesday afternoon. Again, it's October the 18th, 2017. Just have what, two more months left in this year? I tell you, when you have grandchildren, I figured out that's what it is. When you have grandchildren, and with each passing birthday, I mean, it just seems like time just flies by as you watch these little ones grow up. So, two months left. Actually, in November, we'll be celebrating the 9th anniversary, 9 years old, going on 9 years old. The Black Talk Media Project, as well as our platform, Black Talk Radio Network. So, I tell you, man, it doesn't seem like we've been around for 9 years, but again, time flies, man. Especially when you got grandchildren and you watching them grow up, and whatnot. So I do have some more stories that I want to share with you. Again, by all means, if you want to share some stories with us, give us a call at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, hit **, or you can share with us via the conference line. Donald Trump, unfortunately, we'll be talking, got several stories related to Donald Trump. We just talked about him telling this widow that her husband knew what he signed up for when he got killed in Niger, in Africa. Doesn't seem very appreciative, does he? Okay. And I think it's also, yeah, let me just put this out there. I think it does have something to do with perhaps the skin color of this soldier. I can't say for sure, but he doesn't seem too grateful for these black people giving their lives for God, country, and their fellow Americans. No, he doesn't seem grateful at all. Donald Trump, again, has been implementing travel bans. I think he's like on his third one now, where he stated, and again, his mouth, everything that he tweets, it's all public record. It's out there. And when he makes these statements attached to his policy, when he goes off script, so to speak, he's been coming out with these travel bans. He's on the third one. And it's been blocked based on racism and discrimination against nationality and religion. Again, you can't do that. That's against federal law, but Donald Trump's allowed to do pretty much what he wants to do, just like him interfering in the NFL's little labor dispute with its players and his comments on Colin Kaepernick. Again, Colin Kaepernick, please sue Donald Trump. Please sue him. He's in violation of federal law that prohibits executive branch employees from interfering in the labor activities and what have you of private employers. So Judge Derek K. Watson is the latest judge to rule that the Trump administration's most recent attempt at a travel ban plainly discriminates based on nationality, and that it suffers from precisely the same maladies as its predecessor. It lacks sufficient findings that the entry of more than 150 million nationals from six specified countries would be detrimental to the interests of the United States. Watson's ruling blocks federal enforcement of the travel restrictions imposed on residents of six Muslim-majority nations listed in the latest executive order. That would be Chad, Iran, Libya, Syria, Yemen, and Somalia. Restrictions on residents of North Korea and Venezuela, added as part of the third version, remain in effect. The case was brought by the state of Hawaii and the Muslim Association of Hawaii, as well as two American citizens and a permanent resident who argued that Trump's order would keep them separated from their families. So, yeah. I mean, when you blatantly tell people, when you make comments, anti-Muslim comments, when you embrace white supremacy and call white supremacists good people, I mean, it's pretty evident what he's doing here. And again, his own words come back to bite him. So you can read the rest of that article. Again, all the articles are posted in BTR Community, a online social network that was set up for the listeners of Black Talk Radio Network. So all the stories are posted there. Go to btrcommunity.com. They're all in one thread. So that comes to you from salon.com. Let's keep it on Donald Trump. I'm going to jump around here. Let's keep it on Donald Trump. Now, this story is interesting to me because of my ties to the abolitionist movement. This is an issue that is near and dear to my heart. Abolishing slavery in the United States, called the 13th Amendment, did not abolish it, but made it as punishment for a crime, kept it in place and what have you. So Trump is planning to expand the number of detention centers to hold more immigrants. He's living up to his promise to round up probably 2 million immigrants. This story comes to you from thinkprogress.org. It says that since he took office, Donald Trump has authorized numerous immigration enforcement operations to round up immigrants in the country illegally, including thousands of people without criminal backgrounds. Now, to live up to his promise to round up, quote, probably 2 million immigrants, his administration is planning to increase the number of federal immigration detention centers nationwide to hold these detainees, according to a USA Today report, which was published on Tuesday. The U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, that's ICE, has requested private companies. I told you at the beginning of the program, the United States government, the federal government, isn't about to spend billions of dollars to build its own detention facilities, its own concrete plantations. No, they have always been about transferring wealth to these corporations. And so it's saying that ICE, the agency, has asked private companies, and I'm sure it was only two, well, maybe three, CCA, Core Civic, same company, Geo Group, and probably MTC. So they're asking them to submit proposals to house adult immigrant detainees at various sites across the United States, according to the publication, which reviewed notices published on a federal contracting website. The sites would be in places like Chicago, Detroit, St. Paul, Salt Lake City, and Southern Texas, USA Today reported. In particular, the site in Southern Texas would be requested to provide housing for roughly 1,000 adult male and adult female detainees along Interstate 35. Now, where do I stand on this illegal immigration? All right. I have to break with some people on the left, not that I'm a leftist or I subscribe to any of these political labels that people try to put on me, but I've said this for years, though, that these immigrants are fleeing very deplorable conditions in their home countries, and these deplorable conditions have come about in part because of U.S. policy, like the drug war, which has seen violence escalate in Mexico as a result of the gun walking schemes of the Bush administration, the Obama administration. I haven't heard if these gun walking schemes, that is, taking guns, allowing guns by the thousands to go to Mexico through straw buyers, where they end up in the hands of these drug cartels, and they pretty much don't care if they kill a bunch of civilians as they fight to maintain their control over certain areas. This is all through South America. So I understand what is happening. But at the same time, just like individuals who are deemed citizens of this country are fighting to end slavery, are fighting to end slave catching and the brutality of the slave catchers, these people should be doing the same in their home countries. Again, I understand that people want a piece of the American dream, but it's an American nightmare if you are non-white. Very few non-white people get that dream. It usually turns into a nightmare because the system is rigged, and they just simply don't understand that. And they don't understand. To them, they're making a lot of money when they come here and get paid slave wages and they send it back home. So I do want to recognize that this is a human issue, a human rights issue. But at the same time, you can't keep running, as we have some callers who say that there's going to be the United States government is going to be rounding up black people and exterminating them, and so we should run to the woods. I don't know how that's going to save you or whatnot, or run to another country and what have you. I say stay and fight for what's yours. You can say that this country don't belong to you all you want to, but you don't speak for me. You don't speak for many other black people. All right. But I say the same thing to these people. Stop running. and fight. Because what you're doing is creating a circumstance where you have two oppressed communities fighting each other over resources. But at the same time, I recognize also that this is part of slavery. This is part of slavery and human trafficking. And I do stand in solidarity with those in these immigrant detention facilities that are being forced to work for no pay or slave wages. Okay? So, you know, it's like you're jumping out the fire into the frying pan, or out the frying pan into the fire, is how that saying goes. So slavery is a big deal in this country. We people who've been paying attention to the issue of slavery in this country, particularly the private prisons, saw this coming. We saw this coming. And this is just confirmation for what's coming. And that's more detention centers to hold more human beings to profit off of their bodies. So that is a story, again, that was posted to Think Progress. And none of these people, none of these companies will be required to respect people's human rights or constitutional rights, as we always report these stories. We had stories coming out of Florida last week, where prisoners are being forced to fight each other. That's nothing new. Those stories have been occurring in these places for quite some time, where the guards are sexually abusing people, are forcing them to fight, betting on the fights and what have you. So none of that matters to the United States government. I think that more lawsuits should be brought against these facilities. Let me see. Each year, this is something that's coming to us from the chat room. Each year, the U.S. government locks up roughly 440,000 immigrants in over 200 immigrant prisons. These prisons have grown into a highly privatized, lucrative, and abusive industry that profits off misery. But I say it's slavery. What's the cause of their misery? It's slavery. That's what the cause of it is. Let's name that thing, you know. Let's call it what it is. This is slavery. And it says that the GEO group is expected to largely increase its holdings here in the United States. So just sad, just very, very sad. More evidence that slavery is alive and well and very profitable here in the United States. Now, in a related story I want to share with you, the Center for Constitutional Rights sent out an email. I think I got this email Monday. And I have linked to the online version of that newsletter. They have a weekly newsletter, Front Lines of Justice, I'm signed up for. And they have a section in this newsletter that talks about a victory against private prisons. So let's see what they're talking about. They said, in a victory in the fight against private prisons and for government transparency, the Supreme Court made a welcome decision to deny, I can't pronounce this word. This is a Latin word. Let me look this word up so that we can get some context and what it means. It's an order. Okay, it's a writ or order by which a higher court reviews a decision of a lower court. Okay, satori rari, something like that. I can't pronounce that.
Certiorari.
Okay, there, we just got it.
Certiorari.
Certiorari is how you pronounce that. But it's a writ or order by which a higher court reviews a decision of a lower court. And this comes from their joint case last week with Detention Watch Network against Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Department of Homeland Security, and the nation's two largest private prison contractors. That's the GEO Group and Core Civic, formerly known as CCA. We first filed the Freedom of Information Act litigation in November of 2013 to dig up the internal workings of the detention bed quota. See, they got quotas that we've been telling you about for several years on New Abolitionist Radio. CCA has a quota with the state of Louisiana They have a contract that the state of Louisiana entered into to keep those prison beds full. All right. I think it's 90%, maybe 95%, somewhere around that percentage. And so that's a quota. That's a quota. That means that, hey, if you don't keep them 90% full, 95% full, you still got to pay for them empty beds, taxpayers. And so these lawmakers, you know, they talking on the phone to these law enforcement officers, these sheriff deputies in the state. Hey, we got to round up more slaves. We got to keep these prison beds full. Got to keep the plantation at high capacity. And yeah, you know that's going on. How else does Louisiana have seven times the prison population as China? And again, this is why I don't buy into this when people start pointing fingers at these other countries and saying, you ought to be thankful to live in the United States where you got all this liberty and freedom. And it's a bunch of bull. Says that, let me see, we first filed the FOIA litigation in November 2013 to dig up the internal workings of the detention bed quota, which incentivizes detention and profiteering by both public and private entities. We aim to make the government divulge, among other things, the financial arrangements in their detention contracts with private companies and local governments, revealing how they have made immigrant detention a profiteering scheme. In July 2016, the federal court ruled that the government could not withhold pricing information in contracts with private prison companies. The government chose not to appeal, but private prison corporations, the GEO Group and Core Civic, formerly Corrections Corporation of America, themselves stepped in to appeal independently. The Second Circuit dismissed their appeal for lack of standing, and GEO petitioned to the Supreme Court. The court's conclusive rejection of their petition means that the original ruling of the Second Circuit Court of Appeal stands, upholding decades of precedent that private corporations can't litigate on their own to undermine government transparency under the FOIA. As our partners at DWN said in a press release, with this decision, the Supreme Court has signaled agreement that private prison contractors must not act with impunity and dictate government secrecy. This victory is especially important as we face a presidential administration committed to mass privatization as well as mass detention and deportation. Call it slavery, man. Just call it slavery. All right, call it slavery. All right, so that's good news coming to you from the Center for Constitutional Rights. I'm going to have to get back in touch with Angela Chan, who is an Asian American, a very prominent attorney in California. And I interviewed her about a year or two ago about the 13th Amendment, to get her perspective as a highly respected attorney. And she agreed that the 13th Amendment did not abolish slavery. Anybody that's being honest and objective, doesn't matter if you have a law degree or not, but we want those with law degrees to comment on the 13th Amendment. And she stated that you're correct, it did not abolish slavery. But she also said that since immigrants have not been convicted of crime, that this isn't even legal according to legalized slavery under the 13th Amendment. And so I had to get back in touch with her, see if she'll come back on and get her commentary, catch up with her on what she's been doing in the fight to abolish slavery, as she did state that she is an abolitionist. So we will do some follow-up for you on that. All right, let me see if there's anything else related. Let's see, we got a phone call from area code 646. Thank you for calling in to BTR News. What's your name and go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey,
greetings to you, Tag. What's going on with you? What you have to report?
I just wanted to connect up off of the topic of prison slavery and this discussion around the immigration slave catcher ramping up. and the like to this story out of Connecticut. I'm not sure if you had a chance to check out this report about the $9.5 million settlement that has been awarded to this brother out of Connecticut for a 1990 double murder that he was falsely convicted for and wasn't released out of enslavement behind that until 2014. And so now they have $9.5 million settlement to pay out, and apparently New Haven was having difficulty with their budget and therefore is now having to dip into the city coffers, and you know, it seems they're mostly drawing from a bridge project that they had going to actually pay out the funds, which are due in the middle of November, November 15th. This is coming out of newhavenindependent.org.
Yes, let me share some of that. I saw that you had posted that in the abolitionist group that's on BTR community, so thank you for sharing that information. Let's take a look at that. The city plans to pay restitution for a wrongful conviction by raiding some of the capital fund balances of 14 city departments, elders learned Monday night. They had some questions about that. Again, this is coming to you from New Haven, Connecticut. Acting City Budget Director Michael Gormani, City Controller Daryl Jones, and Corporation Counsel John Rose outlined the payment plan for the Board of Alders Finance Committee Monday at City Hall during a public hearing. The Alder Committee unanimously approved the plan, but only after about 2 hours of questioning of HARP administration officials about the impact of delayed purchases of equipment and postponed maintenance of some city's facilities and about why some balances go back as far as to 2010. The answers to those questions generally was that most of the equipment purchases and maintenance can wait a year, though in some cases only a year, and that some projects are multi-year. The city has to pay the $9.5 million because it failed to convince a judge to throw out a federal wrongful conviction lawsuit filed by Scott Lewis, who spent 18 years in prison on murder charges trumped up by a New Haven police detective named Vincent Rossi, I think is how you pronounce his name. The detective was deeply involved in the city's illicit cocaine trade and found to have fabricated the evidence that put Lewis behind bars for nearly two decades of his life. That settlement came in July after the city had wrapped its budget process for fiscal 2017-2018 in June. So Alders are being asked to amend the city's capital budget and authorize the issuance of municipal bonds to refund the capital balances that need to be replenished, such as the funds for the Grand Avenue Bridge project. I'm going to leave it right there. This has been posted in the abolitionist group in BTR community. I'll go ahead and also add it to the string of news stories in the news thread that I posted for today's show in BTR community. I just added that there. If I was a taxpayer in New Haven, I'd be like, no, I'll vote no, 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 no. Because that's what they're talking about is another bond, what they call. And they also raise money for jails this way is, you know, have these bond packages that voters can vote to approve or disapprove that allows them to borrow some money. That's what it seems like is going on here, but all behind a slave catcher setting people up. And I would say that if he set up Mr. Scott Lewis, then it's probably likely that there's more victims, because it's rarely just one victim in these cases when you have a slave catcher detective engaged in things like setting people up. And so I would imagine that there are more victims. So if I had a case and he was the arresting officer and I got convicted or whatnot, man, I'd be suing too. I'd be suing too. Definitely trying to get a new trial based on that. Tag, did you have any commentary on this story?
Yeah, no, I mean, essentially this question of the municipal bonds and the like just seems very relevant to the whole issue. As is mentioned often on New Abolitionist Radio, as far as these private prison companies claiming that they're real estate companies, and this entire issue of, you know, these municipal bankruptcies that have been going on throughout the country. I mean, I know particularly on the Tando Radio show that's been, you know, discussed, and, you know, the issue of these different cities, these municipalities essentially folding or filing for bankruptcy, and it allows for all sorts of breaches in the, you know, governance of these areas, which just allows for all sorts of, you know, additional slave catcher meddling and exploitation, et cetera, et cetera. So it just struck me as a very relevant story for that reason, that, you know, one of the many recent wrongful conviction stories, and then, you know, having the added connection of, you know, them actually seemingly altering their municipal budget, altering their city budget in order to actually follow through on the payout for this brother who was wrongfully enslaved
and they didn't
spent almost
pay
two
it.
Decades inside.
Yeah, and they did not want to pay it. But let's remember, they went to court to try to get it thrown out, and a judge wouldn't do it. So they had to pay it. And New Haven, I pulled it up. New Haven is a municipality in Connecticut. It is a coastal city on Long Island Sound in Connecticut. It's home to the Ivy League, Yale University. It was founded in 1701. The institution's museums include the Yale Peabody Museum of Natural History, the Yale University Art Gallery, and the Yale Center for British Art. Let me see. It has a population of only 129,934. So I wanted to look that up to see what their tax base was, because that may also tell you, and this was according to 2016, their population was 129,000, almost 130,000. That's not a very large tax base, and perhaps explains why they're struggling to pay this settlement for the wrongful, well, I don't want to call it wrongful enslavement, because nobody should be enslaved. Even if you committed a crime, I don't think slavery is the answer. It doesn't lead to justice. But this right. does explain why they are now going to taxpayers and saying, hey, we want to put this bond package up for vote. We need to borrow this money to pay off this victim of slavery. If I was a taxpayer, I'd be very pissed off right now about that. What about you, Tag?
Well, I think there's a lot to be pissed off about right. as regards the tax system out here. So definitely, I would also just be furious, as I am, you know, often hearing about these cases, just off the strength that, you know, the taxpayer dollars generated, you know, by my being in that particular location or municipality or what have you, are being used instead of, you know, all of the however many, the infinite other projects and, you know, important initiatives that it could be used for are instead right. being used to subsidize, you know, the drug traffic of slave catchers, and essentially to ensure or allow them to ensure that we end up in these cages. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the very fact that the first sentence of the article, one of the other articles on this story, also from the New Haven Independent, is it could have been worse. An $18 million bill rather than a $9.5 million bill to compensate a man for the 18 years he spent locked up on charges fabricated by a crooked New Haven police detective. I mean, that just points directly to these slavers' values right there. I mean,
right.
And the fact that they're widespread.
Right. And so, again, a lot of people, I feel like, should be outraged by the fact that our tax dollars are going towards, you know, the bank accounts of these private prison profiteers, as well as these public ones where you employ a bunch of plantation overseers and whatnot. And then, you know, your quality of life in terms of what the city provides in terms of infrastructure and social services is going by the wayside, you know, because of that. Private prison in the modern day slavery in this country. I mean, it's just happening all over the country, man. And instead of the majority population getting pissed off that their tax dollars are being used in such an illicit manner, they get mad at the victims and say, "Oh, this the ghetto lottery, I guess, and whatever." And so, man, instead of ending slavery, instead of reining in these slave catchers, they want a victim blame and get mad because a victim gets compensated for their suffering. So very, very disgusting. All right, so Tag, unless you had anything else, we're going to move on.
I'm down for that. I just, when you mentioned victim blaming, I had to mention this recent Hillary mention of Colin Kaepernick and taking a knee and referring to it as a reverent position and basically attempting to co-opt to some degree, right, that action. So I just found that you know, fitting in keeping with her character and just, you know, difficult to read, but I would just point toward the fact that among the many individuals trying to co-opt that particular action, that protest action that Colin Kaepernick started up, you can add one of the chief enslavers in the world, Hillary Clinton, to that list.
Right, right, right. All right, Tag, thanks, man, for sharing that news and everything you do for Black Talk Radio. You have a good day, sir.
You as well. Thank you.
While we on the subject of slave catchers, but yeah, let me say this about Hillary Clinton. I just wish she'd go away, man. Just go away. Enjoy your illicit money that you got by robbing Haiti, by robbing, you know, pretty much everybody else. And just go away, man. I'm so sick and tired of hearing from her. I'm so sick and tired of this Russian interfered in elections. They ain't do nothing. I mean, come on. If individuals in Russia bought some Facebook ads, big deal. That's not interfering. All right. Y'all want money in politics anyway, right? Okay, so they spending money. And money in politics to influence a political election. If you think $100,000 is a lot of money, compare that to the $1 billion, over $1 billion that the Hillary Clinton campaign spent. And all, and then throw in the super PACs and all that. So, I mean, I'm just so sick of that story. I'm so sick of Black people latching on to it, talking about Russia interfered in the elections and all that. I'm so sick of Black women supporting the Clintons by, in high percentages, just giving her a free pass for all the damage she has done to our community. I'm just so sick of that woman. I wish, I'm not going to say that on air. But anyway, speaking of slave catchers, do y'all remember the story of the Asian doctor who was pretty much knocked out and dragged off the plane, blood, you know, streaming down his face? I remember that story. I believe it happened in Chicago at the Chicago O'Hare International Airport earlier this year. If I'm not mistaken, that happened earlier this year. But anyway, CNN is reporting Chicago aviation officials fired two officers and suspended two others involved in the forcible removal of a United Airlines passenger from a packed flight. Cell phone footage shows security officers on April 9th dragging Dr. David Dow by his arms and legs down the aisle and off the Louisville, Kentucky-bound flight before it took off at Chicago O'Hare International Airport. Dow was left bloodied and bruised in the incident that created a firestorm for the airline. Three Chicago Department of Aviation security officers and a sergeant mishandled a non-threatening situation that resulted in a physically violent, forcible removal of a passenger aboard the flight, a City of Chicago Office of Inspector General investigation found, officials said Tuesday. Employees made misleading statements and deliberately removed material facts from their reports, the investigation found. Oh, surprise, surprise, surprise. They lied. They lie all the time. They lie every day in these reports. Leave out a whole lot of stuff in their reports. I'm still mad because the black cop in Charleston, South Carolina, that was involved in that case with Michael Slager, filed a false report backing up Michael Slager, who had just killed Walter Scott, shot him in the back. And this man witnessed it. This cop witnessed it. He still was never charged. They lie all the time on these reports. I tell you, man, if their lips is moving, they probably lying. Dow's attorney said, lesson to be learned for officers. In a statement, Dow's attorney, Thomas Demetrio, said, it is unfortunate the conduct of these two city aviation employees has resulted in their losing their jobs. Why would you say that's unfortunate? I say that's a great thing. Probably not the first person they've abused. Probably not the first time they've lied on reports. There's usually a pattern in the history. There is a lesson to be learned here for police officers at all levels. Do not state something that is clearly contrary to video viewed by the world, Demetrio said. But for the video, the file report stating that only minimum force was used would have been unnoticed. Let me see. United Airlines settled lawsuit by passenger. The incident began when gate agents asked volunteers to give up their seats for a United crew that needed to meet another flight. Dow and his wife initially agreed to take a later flight, a fellow passenger told CNN, but the couple changed their minds when they learned the next flight wouldn't leave until the following day. United had offered compensation to anyone willing to give up their seats. Dow apparently was chosen at random when not enough people volunteered. In a video shot by two passengers sitting behind Dow, he repeatedly refused to get off the flight, telling officers that he is a physician and must work in the morning. All right, so he's a doctor. All right, and so they didn't get enough volunteers. Why they chose him, I can't say. Could have something to do with his skin color. I can't say that for sure. I don't have any evidence, but that's always something we should take into consideration. But they beat this man. Had him bloodied and bruised when they dragged him off the flight. And two slave catchers have been fired for that. I won't see criminal charges. If an assault was committed, if they lied on their report, that's government misconduct. That's filing a false police report. Prosecutors get creative all the time in stacking charges. Them being fired is not enough for me. I wouldn't settle for that. I'll be filing charges, criminal charges, against these people. All right. So I do want to take another station identification break and kick some more music. And when we come back, we will share some more stories. What's some of the other stories that we got to share? This Mississippi school that was named for Jefferson Davis, of the president of the Confederacy, the Lost Cause, as they call it, which really did not lose the war, because if they lost the war, then slavery would have been abolished. So they didn't lose. They just battled the Union forces too. Well, actually, they were defeated. And Abraham Lincoln just simply gave it away, gave that victory away by cutting a deal with these Confederates to allow them to practice slavery under the 13th Amendment. So you have a school in Mississippi that's named after him, and they're renaming it. And I know it's pissing off a lot of those, "You will not replace us, white supremacists," out there. I know it's pissing them off. Also in related news, you got Kentucky removing two Confederate statues. But before we get to those two stories, coming back immediately after the break, almost don't want to forget this story. I want to hear how Democracy Now! Reports this story about women prisoners fighting fires in California for $1 a day. Again, this is something we have long reported on New Abolitionist Radio and pointing out this is why Kamala Harris, as Attorney General of California, said we can't afford to get rid of our slave labor. Of course, she didn't use the word slave, but that's what she was talking about. We can't let these people out of prison. I don't care if they're 60 years old and have had good behavior for the past 20 years. We can't afford to let these people out. We need that cheap labor. California uses a lot of cheap labor, slave labor, and I just want to see if Amy Goodman and the crew are going to report this in the context of 21st century slavery and human trafficking. So that'll be the first story. We'll listen to that on the other side of our break. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting Monday through Friday from noon Eastern up until 2 o'clock p.m. if nothing happens. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The state of hip-hop is awful. Straight terrible. It promotes death and destruction now. The original principles of hip-hop culture is peace, unity, love, and having fun. The principles of what we call slave hip-hop is violence, chaos, hate, and danger. Slave hip-hop must be abolished, and we must save African people from this nonsense and bring hip-hop back to where it used to be.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
We want to. to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. As I stated before, we took our music break and station identification break. Again, want to remind you that Black Talk Radio Network is the world's number one platform for independently produced black media. Check us out at blacktalkradionetwork.com. You can support all our media efforts by making a donation today to the North Carolina, U.S.-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. So I talked about before the break. Let me pull this story up so I can get some of the text. This is a YouTube video from Democracy Now.
I'm Amy Goodman.
Give me just a second as I pause that. It says, why are women prisoners battling California wildfires for as little as $1 a day? As raging wildfires in California scorch more than 200,000 acres, roughly the size of New York City, more than 11,000 firefighters are battling the blazes. And a number of them are prisoners, including many women inmates. So we will take a listen to this story. I want to pay attention to how they frame this, because I can answer that question. Why are women prisoners battling California wildfires for as little as $1 a day? I would say the 13th Amendment. That's why. It legalized slavery as punishment for crime. So they being paid slave wages to do this very, very dangerous work, and they give them other incentives like time off, and they get to stay at these separate less secure facilities, and it's better than being on the other plantations that are overcrowded, or they shipped you off to a private prison. So, but the simple answer is slavery. It's that simple. But let's see how if slavery or the 13th Amendment is ever mentioned in this 8-minute Democracy Now! Report.
Juan Gonzalez.
Well, we end today's show in California, where raging wildfires have killed at least 41 people and scorched more than 200,000 acres, roughly the size of New York City. The fires are now the deadliest in California since record-keeping began. At least 100,000 people have been forced to evacuate, with about 75,000 displaced after their homes and businesses were destroyed. More than 11,000 firefighters are battling the blazes, and a number of them are prisoners, including many women inmates. In this clip from the film The Prison in 12 Landscapes, an inmate with an all-woman crew describes being sent to fight a raging fire in Marin County.
My first day here, when I first got to camp, I got thrown on a fire. We had just got through orientation, and the horn went off. And I got thrown on the bus, and off we went, chasing the smoke. We're driving up the mountain and seeing dirty burn everywhere. All of a sudden, there's a 40-foot wall of flame on both sides of me.
That's a clip from PBS's Independent Lens, The Prison in 12 Landscapes. To find out more about these firefighters, we're joined by two guests in Fullerton, California, where Marilyn Ralston is with us of California Coalition for Women Prisoners, the L.A. chapter, program coordinator for Project Rebound at Cal State University. Marilyn experienced 23 years of incarceration. While she was incarcerated, she was a fire camp trainer and a clerk for the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. And in Los Angeles, journalist and author Jamie Lowe is with us. Her recent story in the New York Times Magazine is headlined, "The Incarcerated Women Who Fight California's Wildfires." Marilyn, if you could start off by telling us who's on the front lines. People might be surprised to hear that prisoners, among them women prisoners, are fighting California's wildfires right now.
Good morning, Amy and Juan. Thank you for having me on the show. Yes, the women who are on the front line are women who volunteer for the camp training program, or they are assigned to the program because they have nonviolent offenses or classified as minimum custody. So these are women who are able to leave the prison and be housed in one of the 43 conservation camps. I'm sorry, one of the three female conservation camps.
And how is it that this program started? Who are these incarcerated women who are fighting fires?
Well, the program started many years ago, I think around World War II, where inmates became involved with fighting disasters within California, repairing roads and sandbagging floods and earthquakes, things like that. The first conservation camp for women was opened, I believe, in 1983, which is Camp Rainbow, which was formerly a male conservation camp. So firefighting program for female inmates have been around since 1983.
And how much are they paid compared to others who are fighting the fires on the front lines?
Well, fire pay is typically about a dollar an hour while you're in fire camp training. Some folks are paid zero for that training or up to $18 a month. And then once you get to the classroom and you are part of the field training, then that pay escalates to a whopping $48 a month. If you're a swamper, you may get paid $56 a month.
Why do women do it?
Women do it for various reasons. Several reasons are to get closer to their kids for day. You know, those types of jobs come with a huge reduction in sentence. So the credit bearing that you receive for fighting fires is worth putting your lives at risk between the time that you serve. So
are you saying that they get to see their children if they fight the fire?
They get to see their children a lot sooner because you get a reduced sentence. You earn a different credit. You earn day for day. You get to see your children in a visiting area at a camp, not in a prison, where there are less restrictions, where the environment is more park-like. Who doesn't want that?
Jamie Lowe, you wrote the article, The Incarcerated Women Who Fight California's Wildfires. Could you talk about some of the people you interviewed and what you found?
Sure. I talked to people who ranged in, like, many different sociological backgrounds. I found that their response to the program was anything from, you know, resenting the depth and the hardship of the work because it's intense physical labor, to a lot of appreciation for the responsibility of working within the community and doing something that was giving back to it. That said, I think that it was, you know, these women are putting their lives on the line for very little money. They make a dollar an hour when they're actually fighting fires, $2 a day in camp per day. And while the camps are nicer place to experience prison, they're still prison. They're still prisoners.
What surprised you most in your research, Jamie, for this piece for The New York Times?
Definitely that there was a real appreciation for participation. I was shocked at how many women were really... one woman I talked to, Marquette, felt, I think, transformed by doing the work. But I think it was also just really hard for her when she described being in the, like, confronted with flames and confronted with the training. It was something she, like, had never experienced before. And her description of it was so visceral and so intense that it was something that just felt outside of the lines of incarceration in some ways. It's not what you would expect. It felt more like an outward bound experience. It felt more like something, you know, these women are providing a service for the state. And
have any of the women, have any of the prisoners who are fighting the fires lost their lives?
Yes. So that's how I was first sort of not introduced, but that's why I wanted to write about the program. I had never fully heard of it. And I read a small article about Shauna Lynn Jones, who passed away in February of 2016. And she was on one of the crews in the Malibu camp. There are three female camps. And it struck me that nobody really talked about who she was, how she got there, her background, and how she ended up dead.
Well, we're going to continue this discussion, have you back on later in the week. This is a critical story. Jamie Lowe of New York Times will link to the incarcerated women who fight California's wildfires, has a new book out this week called Mental, and we'll interview you about that. Juan, you're going to be speaking at Rutgers tonight?
Yes, at the Barnes & Noble's bookstore in New Brunswick.
Check it out at democracynow.org. And
okay, we'll stop it there. And as I suspected, no mention of slavery. No mention of the 13th Amendment, no mention of California's Constitution. It makes slavery legal. And, you know, that woman, the last woman they were interviewing that we heard speaking, she, you know, relaying saying how this victim of slavery felt that it transformed her and what have you. But guess what? When she get out of prison, she won't get a job fighting fires. Nobody will hire her because she has that felony slave status. Another person had done some research and posted it to my Facebook profile when I was commenting on another story and pointing out that these firefighters are victims of slavery. And the average pay of a firefighter in California is over $100,000. See, now it comes into context why Kamala Harris, who the Democrats hope to give the Democratic nomination when Donald Trump's term is up, if he's not impeached first. But why she said we can't afford to let these nonviolent people go. As you heard in that story, a lot of these women, and I would say men as well. I don't know why they were just focusing on the women, but men as well. Why Kamala Harris didn't want to let them go. Okay? And that's coercion. You're coercing these people to become firefighters by using access to their children against them, a more hospitable, more humane environment at the camp as opposed to the overcrowded conditions and other deplorable conditions that exist in prisons. I mean, hell, when you're desperate and you're in a situation like that, yeah, who would not jump at the chance? Oh, I get to see my children. Oh, I get to cut some time off of my slavery sentence. Yeah, I'll go fight fires. But again, once these people come out of prison, they won't get hired as firefighters. They won't get paid $100,000 plus a year to do what they're doing for a dollar a day or a dollar an hour right now. So again, people need to wake up, and I'm not, how can I put this? I wasn't surprised that we did not hear a mention of slavery in this piece by Democracy Now. I'm not surprised that we didn't hear anything about the 13th Amendment on Democracy Now. No questions from Amy or Juan Gonzalez. None of the guests brought it up that this is slavery, and we're missing out a lot of opportunities to let people know what's really going on. So this is what you got. This is what you have when you have people, and I'm talking about activists, and I'm just stating the truth. When you have activists who are funded by billionaires and these so-called philanthropic organizations, and they control the narrative. Oh, just call it mass incarceration. Don't call it slavery, you know, because slavery sounds a little too harsh, and we don't want to sound harsh or anything. So we'll just say they locking up too many people, you know. And so this is what we have when activists aren't fully educated on issues, and they just simply are scratching the surface and never getting to the root cause of the problem. And the problem is slavery. I don't think there's anybody who can dispute that, because, you know, then you're going to have to dispute what's in the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. All right, that's the end of that story. So just keep in mind, as you hear these stories about the firefighters or the fires in California, just recognize that slave labor is being used to fight those fires. And it was interesting how they pointed out that these prisoners have been used for all kind of infrastructure work and what have you. So again, if you're an unemployed person out there having trouble finding a job, hey, it might just be because that wherever you are, prison slave labor is keeping you from becoming employed, and they're hoping that you go violate some law while you out there trying to survive, and then you'll end up as slave labor too. So just think it's important that we name it. We name it. We say what it is. It's not just an issue of women firefighters getting paid $1 an hour. The issue is slavery. That's what the issue is. All right, so last couple of stories. Only got a few more minutes. Last couple of stories I want to share with you. I shared a raw video from the Associated Press. There's nobody speaking, but they're showing two Confederate statues being removed in Lexington, Kentucky. I think Lexington may be their capital, but they are removing those Confederate statues. Again, I know there are some people who listen to Black Talk Radio Network who don't see any value in removing these statues. They say they need them as a reminder that white supremacy exists, and you know, and I don't agree with them. I don't agree with them. If I want to know who Jefferson Davis is, I can go to the internet and look them up. Okay. If you need a personal reminder, hell, go find one of these Confederate gift shops. Go to that museum in South Carolina where Dylann Roof was going to. I'm sure they got a souvenir shop, and they said you can purchase Confederate flags. Yeah, there's your reminder, right? If you need that type of reminder, that's the way to go. Because some of us do not want our financial energy being stolen in support of things like that. And obviously, removing these statues is not going to end slavery. It's not going to end white supremacy. I don't think you can ever end a religion because it's based on a person's beliefs. If they believe, they want to believe that they are supreme beings on this earth, there's nothing you can do to change their mind. And I'm not concerned about changing their minds. What I am concerned about is that their will doesn't override my free will. And my free will tells me that I don't want to be funding monuments to slavers and racists. I don't want to do that. I don't want my grandsons growing up and then going to the courthouse for whatever reason and seeing these monuments. And because then that's on me. That's on me. I've made no progress in any area whatsoever. And symbols are very important. They are very important, and these symbols need to be eradicated. They just really do, because this is how white supremacy, this is how slavery gets perpetuated throughout time memorial, is when you memorialize these people as heroes, as outstanding citizens who just had a little states' right disagreement. And No. We want to send the correct message, and that is that these people are criminals. They committed high crimes against humanity, and they do not deserve a place of honor in any society. I mean, damn, Nazi Germany, the Germans even know that. There's a reason why they have outlawed Nazi symbols, because they don't ever want it to come back, because apparently the German people understand symbolism better than a lot of other people, and that it's not harmless or anything of the sort. Now, the last story, speaking of Confederates, a Mississippi school which was named for Confederate leader Jefferson Davis has been renamed to honor former CEO of USA Inc., Barack Obama. I know that's pissing off a lot of them racists down there. I know they pissed off. Hey, one of y'all heroes just got replaced. And, you know, I don't like Barack Obama too much because of his failure in office to do anything to address slavery, although he knows slavery was never abolished as a constitutional attorney and professor at one time. Just done nothing to address white supremacy, didn't direct his attorney generals like Eric Holder or Loretta Lynch, didn't direct them to do anything to these domestic terrorists. Just nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Nothing meaningful. A lot of confusing talk from him on the issue, but nothing concrete. So I don't too much care for the guy. But if it's making these racists mad, then so be it. You know, let them get mad. Maybe they'll do something stupid and expose themselves as the terrorists that they are, and we can throw them into slavery. So let me read this article. The public school in Mississippi named after Jefferson Davis is being renamed to honor former President Obama. The school's stakeholders voted earlier this month at the Jackson Public School's Board of Trustees meeting to rename the school Barack Obama Magnet IB. 98% of the students who attend the Davis Magnet School are black, according to the publication. Jefferson Davis, although infamous in his own right, would probably not be too happy about a diverse school promoting the education of the very individuals he fought to keep enslaved being named after him. Davis Magnet IB PTA President Janelle Jefferson said. The name change is meant to reflect a person who fully represents the ideals and public stances consistent with what we want our children to believe about themselves. Well, y'all could have picked somebody better. Y'all certainly could have. You could have named it after Mega Evers. I think he was killed in Mississippi. Or any of the victims. And I'm being reminded of a documentary called The Ghost of Mississippi. Go check out that documentary. I can't remember the producer's name. It was a black woman. I interviewed her when that film came out. You can find it online, The Ghost of Mississippi. Where they was documenting terrorism, how they was rounding up black people, throwing them in makeshift prisons and what have you, because they were what? They were taking a stand against racism and white supremacy and asserting themselves. So, I mean, they could have found a number of people to name it after. Why Barack Obama? This man has participated in worldwide plots to overthrow countries like Libya, then stood by while jihadists overran the country and now are practicing slavery openly, according to the United Nations. But nobody's talking about going in to end this slavery, are they? So it says that the name, I wholeheartedly agree with the name, Board President Camille Sims said. The name change will take effect during the 2018-19 school year, according to the publication. The name change comes amid a debate over the removal of Confederate statues in various cities across the country. Some cities have decided to take down Confederate statues in their towns. The issue was at the center of protest that took place earlier this year in Charlottesville, Virginia. And just a quick note before I wrap it up. State of Florida has called for, the governor has called for a state of emergency because Richard Spencer was scheduled to speak at the University of Florida, and people are saying it's like a powder keg down there. And I hope that we see more terrorists being battled in the streets by whoever will be willing to go out there and fight them in the streets, say no to racism, say no to white supremacy, say we will not tolerate the continuation of slavery. No, Richard Spencer does not have a right to spread terrorism in the ideology of white supremacy. We're not going to stand for it, and we'll do whatever we have to do to disrupt it. Okay? Some people, they don't see the value in those things, but hey, if you don't do anything, like Martin Luther King Jr. said, if you don't stand for something, you know, you'll fall for anything. All right? And even by your silence is a betrayal. Your silence on these issues are a betrayal. They're not going to do anything to end slavery on their own, or white supremacy, which is a tool they use to practice slavery, to round up slaves and what have you, how they format their slave catching policies and whatnot. And hell, there would have never been a civil war to end slavery if there hadn't have been agitation, if there hadn't been movement by the people who was against slavery. So sitting on the sidelines has never amounted to anything but chafe behinds, okay? You don't get no points for that, all right? So again, we have to push dominoes in order to make the whole road fall down. We gotta be making moves, man, or else we'll just be stuck in the same place, spinning our wheels. So definitely giving a shout out to those down there in Florida who plan on opposing these racist terrorists in your state. All right, so that's the end of today's program. I'll be back on air tomorrow. Tanya Free and Friends talk show is not on air today. They're taking a break this week, but you can check out their archives on the network, Black Talk Radio Network. You can also visit their website where they posted a podcast. I'll share that on our social media platforms, but go to TanyaFreeAndFriends.com. Later this evening at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Tando Radio Show. At 8 o'clock Eastern will be New Abolitionist Radio. And at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern will be Mind, Body, and Spirit, right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. With that said, recognize the fact that there's war being waged and slavery is still being practiced in this country, and we need to bring an end to it all. And it's not going to occur on its own. No, we have to put energy behind it. We have to do something, because faith without works is dead. Okay, people, you can't get it done by just praying. All right, yeah, do we need prayer for those that believe in the power of prayer? Yes, we need prayer. Pray for our safety. Pray for our victory and all of that. But praying alone ain't gonna get it done. All right, you have to put action behind to go along with those prayers, because faith without works is dead. So come on, y'all, let's get to work. That said, y'all be safe out there. Peace and blessings to all. Peace.